Psalms chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of things tonight.
Tonight's lesson is going to help you if you read your Bible on a regular basis. If you don't, there may not be a Bible study we do that's more of a waste of time if you don't read your Bible on a regular basis. I want this to help your devotions. I want this to help your time in your Bible. And the book of Psalms is, they say, the book of Psalms amongst Jews and amongst Christians is the most read book in the Bible. In our Bible, the book of Psalms is the second book of wisdom or poetry, you could say, right after Job. In the Jewish Bible, the book of Psalms is the first book. In other words, when they open there, the way the Hebrew Bible is laid out, the book of Psalms is their Genesis, I guess you could say it, what it is to us. That's because they put it up there because this is the book of Psalms is the most read book, I think, in both worlds, and that's good. Psalms is divided in five sections. Chapters 1 through 41 is the first section or the first book. Go to Psalm 41, and I'll show you something, how you can tell the difference between each book. Psalm 41, each book ends with praise to the Lord, amen, or amen and amen. And that's how you, when you can tell when a new book in Psalms is getting started. For instance, there's book 1, which is chapter 1 to 41, and then chapter 2 is going to start book 2. And then I'll tell you the divisions here in just a second, but look at the end of Psalm 41. Look at the last verse. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. That is the sign. It's called a benediction or a finalization. Amen. And that's how you can tell in Book of Psalms where each book ends and the new book is getting ready to start. Chapter 42 is going to start book number 2. And if you'll go to chapter 72, that's where the second book ends. I'm not going to go through all of these with you, but I did want to show you this. Look at verse number 19, Psalm 72, verse 19. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. There it is. Amen and amen. So that's the end of the second book. And the third book is going to start with chapter 73. Now, that's all you need to see on there. All of them end the same way. Somebody said, why is the book of Psalms divided into five books? Do you realize if we included those five books in our count, we wouldn't have a 66-book Bible. We would have a 70-book Bible. Do you understand? Which is kind of interesting, too, because seven is what? The number of God. It's God's number of perfection. So whether we have 70 books or 66, great, super duper, 66 is what we're used to. Some think 6 and 6 is spooky, you know what I mean? I don't think that. So where are the five books? 1 to 41, 42 to 72 is the second book, 73 to 89 is the third book, and from 90 to 106 is the fourth book, and from 107 to 170 is the fifth book. And you'll notice, even Psalm 150 ends that way. Now, let me give you one more thought here on it, and then we're going to move on. How come it's divided five ways? Somebody said, well, that's to match up with the Torah. And the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And if you'll take Psalm chapter 1 through 41, and you'll line it up with Genesis, it'll show... I've tried that, and if you can do that, God bless you, okay? I did not get anything. You'll notice all five books in Psalms contain the same subjects, just expressed differently. In other words, there's not something unique to book 1 and something unique to book 2 and book 3. Nobody really knows why there's five books. Now, you can say, if you like Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and it lining up just the same, God bless you. I couldn't see it. I looked. I tried, and maybe I need to be hit on the head with a sledgehammer. No, don't do that. I just didn't see it. The Psalms, now, here we go. The Psalms were written over a period of 1,100 years. And here's what I would like you to think about. I'm going to refer back to this. But when you read your Bible, whether it's in Psalms or any part of your Bible, new or old, there's three P's that deal with interpretation. Are you ready? All Scripture has three interpretations, and they all start with a P. I would think this would help you when you read your Bible, and that's why I'm giving it to you tonight. Number 1 is a present present, or what happened when that scripture was written. There's a story behind it. What took place when that happened? So there's a present interpretation. What was present when that scripture was penned? The next P is personal. This is what we call the devotional part of your Bible. This is what it means to you. And let's say, you know, I've heard the old statement, well, bless God, Grandma could sit there and read her Bible every morning and she didn't need nobody telling her what to. She could get things out of her Bible devotionally because of the Holy Spirit that was inside of her. Do you understand? But there are some things study will reveal. You'll find that on the present. Then personal, that's devotional. There. And watch this. Everybody in here, whether you know Jewish lifestyle and culture and time, everybody in here, when you read your Bible, if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, God can speak to your heart devotionally when you read His Word. Do you understand? You say, well, I don't understand. Where does Isaiah fit in it? And how come when Job was... Okay, that stuff's nice to know, and that comes with study. But everybody in here can get something devotionally out of your Bible. So there's present, there's personal, and what's the last P? The last P is prophecy. All Scripture has a present, a personal, and a prophetic meaning. Do you understand? Now the devotional is wide. What does that Scripture mean to you? That's as wide as there are people experiences. You can hear people say, you know, I was going through a dark time in my life and this Scripture meant a lot to me. Good. God gave it to you to hold on. That's great. But all Scripture has a prophecy also. It's going to be fulfilled one day when Jesus comes. So, or maybe it has been fulfilled in the first advent. So what are the three P's? And this just isn't in Psalms, but this is definitely in Psalms. But what are the three P's? Present, personal, and prophecy. Can you say it with me? Present, personal, and prophecy. Those three P's apply to all Scripture. All Scripture. You may not understand it, and you may get something devotionally, praise the Lord, out of every place you read in your Bible. But you need to know the three P's. All Scripture. How much of your Bible is prophecy? All of it. All of it. Even David and Goliath? Yeah, David and Goliath is going to show how the Islamic nations are Goliath. And they're going to come against Israel. And God's going to smite them in the tribulation period at the Battle of Armageddon. It doesn't matter what you want to show. Basic Bible story, it's all prophecy. Do you understand? And only God could write a book like that. Now, the three P's, present, personal, and prophecy, there are entire... Now let's focus on the book of Psalms. There are entire Psalms about the tribulation. Go to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. I'm not going to read all of these with you, but you could, at the top of Psalm 79, you could write tribulation. Tribulation. That's the prophecy behind it. So right at the top of Psalm 79, just write tribulation. This whole psalm is about the Jews going through the tribulation and their prayer to God. Let's read a few verses and I'll show it to you. Ready? Psalm 79 and verse number 1. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. So have they done that yet? That has been done in the past, but that's really going to happen in the tribulation. Look at verse number 2. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. They're going to chase the Jews in the tribulation. It's going to be a horrible death feast. All right, look at verse number 3. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? And I'll let you read the rest of it. That whole psalm is a prayer of the Jews in the tribulation. Now, let me go back a little bit. Can that chapter 79 in your Bible mean a lot to you when you're being hated and persecuted? Yes, it can be. There's nothing wrong with devotionally, but sometimes it might help you to understand most of the Psalms are about the Jews praying during the tribulation period. Most of them, not all of them. Now that Psalm is about the tribulation period. Now let's look at a psalm that's about the protection of the Jews during the tribulation. Go to the famous psalm. The most famous psalm in the Psalms is what? Does anybody know? 23. Go to Psalm 23. A pastor in Russia, when they were sending preachers to Siberia, preached from Psalm 23 for 15 years every day. He felt bad, but when they threw him and the church into jail in Russia, it was the only scripture he had memorized. And every day they would gather and say, "Pastor, preach to us." And the only chapter he preached from was Psalm 23, because you weren't allowed to have a Bible. The Bible's endless. He said God showed him how endless the Bible is and how eternal it is. Amen. But that's devotional, right? Let's look at prophetically Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the most beloved psalm in all the book of Psalms. I'll tell you something. The Lord isn't your shepherd unless you let him. He's not everybody's shepherd. He's every Christian shepherd. He'll shepherd you if you let him. I know some Christians that don't let him shepherd them. They do their own thing. However, he can be your shepherd. And then, that's devotional. Then, watch this, prophetically. How do you know this is prophetic? Look at verse 4. It says here, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Where is the shadow of death? It's in Petra, in Jordan. Now, we're going to get into this here in just a little bit. Petra, the shadow of death, is in Jordan, which is, it's in Petra, and it's in the southern part of what is Petra? Petra is the rock city. Has, I believe, 1,500-foot high walls, real narrow passages. It's where the Jews are going to hide in the tribulation. The shadow of death is in Petra. Now, why would we say that? Because Psalm 23 speaks about this is the Jews praying for protection while they're going through the tribulation. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff." Yes, this has devotional applications, but it also, that's the prophecy side of it. There is also there's Psalms that deal with nothing but the Antichrist. All right, let's go to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. I'm giving you an overview of Psalm right now. Psalm chapter 10, you could write up at the top, you could write Antichrist, the Antichrist. Psalm chapter 10, and then watch this. We covered this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but watch this. "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked. I have that underlined in my Bible. That's the Antichrist. The wicked. In his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." Verse 4, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Psalm 10, the whole psalm, is about the Antichrist. Can you get something about it devotionally when you find out somebody hates you? Yes, you can. That's the devotional truth. But the prophetic truth is, this is what they're going to be praying against the Antichrist in the tribulation period. Do you understand? Let's look at one more Antichrist psalm. One more. Go to Psalm 52. Go to Psalm 52. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping if I give you an overview, what a wonderful book we have, God's book. But if you read Psalms, do you realize if you read five Psalms a day, you'll read through the book of Psalms once a month? Because there's 150 Psalms, 30 times 5 is 150. It's 150. So you'll read through it, and today was the 13th, September 13th, 2017. So if you read five Psalms a day, you would have read Psalm 13, add 30 to it. Psalm 43, add 30 to that. Psalm 73, Psalm 103, and then Psalm 33. So that would have been the five Psalms that you would have read today if you're reading through the book of Psalms in a month. And that way you're reading through Psalms once a month. Underline your Bible, mark. I'm hoping that this helps you when you read through your Bible, and I hope you read Psalms more than just once a year. Psalm 52, look at chapter 52, look at verse 1. This is another Antichrist psalm. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all... That's an Antichrist psalm. That whole psalm is about the Antichrist. Can you get something out of that psalm when you find somebody is a jerk or somebody hates God or hates Christians or hate church? Sure, you can apply that. That's a devotional application. But prophetically, that is an Antichrist psalm. That is what the Jews will be praying. Now, there are whole psalms about the Antichrist. Psalm 73, Psalm 109. There are psalms about the workers of iniquity. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Let's look at Psalm 76. There are whole psalms about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 76. Psalm 76. Here we go. I'm not going to read the whole psalm with you. I'm going to just try to whet your taste buds here. Verse number 1. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle. You say, what's Salem? It would later be called Jerusalem. Salem. In Salem is his tabernacle. Then it says, and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. Selah. We're going to look at that word here in just a minute. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled and they have slept their sleep. And none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. That means no more war, right? No more horses, no more chariots, no more need for it. What happens in the millennium? There is no more war, no more fighting. This is a millennial psalm. This is describing the millennium. There are whole psalms that describe the millennium. Psalm 76. Psalms, if you want to mark it down, other millennial psalms are Psalms 95 to 101. You can look at those later. We don't have time for that tonight. But Psalm 95 to 101, all of those are millennial psalms. When the trees rejoice, when the mountains sing, when does that happen? Well, what's that mean? That means the trees are going to clap their hands, like it says. When does that happen? When Jesus comes during the millennium. When are the mountains going to sing? When all creation rejoices at the second. That's a millennium song. Psalm. That's what's going. Well, what's that spiritually mean? It means it's really, you can read your Bible literally. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time. Psalm 95 to 101. I'll let you look at those. Now, here we go. I'd like you to go to Psalm 3, go to Psalm chapter 3, and I want to spend the rest of our time, just a few more minutes, looking at one word that you're going to read 71 times in the book of Psalms. It's the word Selah. It's 71 times in the book of Psalms. It's 75 times in your Bible. It's 3 times in Habakkuk, and it is 1 time in 2 Kings. But when you read through Psalms, you're going to read Selah, 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 you're going to read it, and I want you to know what it means. Okay, so with you in Psalm 3, listen closely, and then we'll read here in just a second. Okay, I just need you to listen to me. The doctrinal key word for the tribulation and the second coming of the Lord Jesus is Selah. I personally have been taught that the word Selah means stop and meditate, but it means much more than that. The word Hegeion, which is used once in Psalm 7, that is a word that means meditate. Now, we don't talk that way, but when you read Psalm 7 and you read Hegeion, Hegeion means meditate. Selah does not mean meditate, but that's what I've been taught. That's what I was taught in Bible college. That's what I've been taught. Let me share something with you. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 7, it says this. He slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000, this is Amaziah, and took Selah by war, and called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. Selah is connected with Edom, which is southern Jordan, and is also dealing with Arabia. It's Arabs. Selah Petra in Jordan is the rock city, and it will be the refuge for the scattered remnant during the tribulation. Okay, I've got you in Psalm 3. Let me just show you Selah and where this is. Go to Isaiah 16. Keep your finger in Psalm 3. We'll go right back there. Go to Isaiah 16. Go to Isaiah 16 in your Bible. When you watch the Church of Christ, you ever watched them? We used to watch them in Tennessee because that's Church of Christ territory. But if you ever watch people going to Church of Christ, they don't have their Bibles. I love going to church and using my Bible. The Baptists have always been called the people with the book in their lap, because when they would break into the churches time and time again through the centuries, all the people had their book in their lap. People love the book. I love having a book that I can tangibly turn. Somebody said, well, my book's on my phone. They can delete your Bible off of your phone if they want to. There's no replacement for a tangible copy of the book. No replacement. No replacement for it. Isaiah 16. Ready? Read the first few four verses here. Read it with me. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, to the wilderness under the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel. Execute judgment. Make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. I wish you'd underline this so you could read it later. Underline three words. Hide the outcasts. Then, bray not him that wandereth. Verse 4. Let mine outcasts dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. Who's the spoiler? This is a totally prophetic. The spoiler is the Antichrist. So he is saying, Selah, this is God saying, in the future, Isaiah 16, Selah is going to be a place where the Jews can hide from the spoiler. That's where we get that. Petra is going to be the Jews' hiding place during the tribulation, where they can hide from the Antichrist. Now go back to Psalm 3. And let's look at this, where these words, and let's tie this in together with as you read your Bible. Okay, ready? Psalm chapter 3. And we're going to look at some individual psalms in the next couple of Wednesday nights. But you just got to understand this. Look at verse number 1. Ready? Psalm chapter 3 now, and verse number 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Every time you read the word Selah in the book of Psalms, it is always meaning, think about how those verses are going to be fulfilled in the tribulation with the Jews. And that's what they're praying. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And you're going to see that over and over again. Whenever you see the word Selah, it's talking about either the tribulation or with the second coming. Let's look at another passage. Go to Psalm chapter 7. Look at Psalm chapter 7. And we're going to look at several of these tonight, and I hope to be able to show it to you. I wish every Christian, if you come across a word you don't understand when you read your Bible, why do you read it so quickly? How come you don't look it up in a dictionary? It's not another book. It's God's book. Every word means something. Every word. That's what feeds our soul. And when I feel sorry for people, but I love reading the Bible with people. I do. When people say, can I come by the church there and read the Bible? I'd love to. And then I explain things to you. And I've had about several people in our church tell me, Pastor, when you read the Bible with me, it has opened it up and it's helped me read it on my own. Because when you read it with me, you point out different things. Point out stuff. That's why this, I'm really hoping this helps your Bible study. Look at Psalm chapter 7. Now Selah is in verse 5, but watch this. Psalm chapter 7, verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me. See that? And deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. What's that mean? That means that's a Jew praying. The Jews are going to pray, Lord, we haven't treated anybody like this, but they're hunting us like animals. Lord, please help us. And yes, can you get something out of this? When you're going through a hard time in your life, yes, you can devotionally. But you need to understand prophetically, when you're reading the book of Psalms, this is really to Jews. I can spiritualize and apply it to my life. have no problem. I've memorized verses out of Psalms. But I wanted you to see that word Selah. Selah. It's talking about the protection during the tribulation or the second coming. Look at Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We'll just look at a few more passages here, and then I'll try to give you Psalm 32. Look at verse number 4. Three times we'll see in this passage the word Selah. You know what? I skipped one. I skipped Psalm 9, 16 through 20, but let's go to Psalm 32. You're there. Look at verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall... Well, first of all, what's that mean? What is the tribulation for? It's Jacob's trouble to do what? To help Israel bring an end of their transgression. That's Daniel chapter 9. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The tribulation is God's judgment on Israel for rejecting the Messiah. So what happens in the tribulation? They're going to say, dear God, we've sinned. Just like Psalm 32 says, right? I acknowledged my transgression unto thee. Thou forgavest my iniquity. Selah. What's that mean? That's talking about the tribulation. I love Psalm 32. Psalm 32, 8, I will guide thee with mine eye. I will direct thee. I mean, there's some wonderful verses in Psalm 32. So devotionally, it's beautiful. But prophetically, when you read that word Selah, let's read it a few more times here. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse number 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Look at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. There's that word again, Selah. That means stop and think. How is this passage going to be fulfilled in the tribulation or at the second coming of Jesus? Let's look at go to Psalm 46. Go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, look at verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, wait a second. Is God our refuge? Yes, He is. Is God our strength and help in trouble? Yes, He is. But the Jews are going to see miraculous protection during the tribulation period when this is fulfilled. But can I go to God in prayer and say, oh God, my refuge, you who are my present or pronto help. I need help. Can I pray this prayer? Yes, I can. Devotionally, but prophetically, let's look at Selah here. Ready? Look at verse number 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Stop. When does that happen? Remember the earthquakes and the tribulation? Though the mountains be moved and that meteor that comes out of the sky will be in heaven, praise God, that hits. It's like a small meteor. It's like a planet. He said, though the earth be removed and the skies fallen here. He says here, in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That's all happening in the tribulation. Selah. Then watch this. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. That's Jerusalem. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Stop. Is God in the midst of Jerusalem right now? Is He going to be? You bet. Selah. He's going to be. Then watch this. God is in the midst of her. She, Jerusalem, shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You're going to read Selah when you read the book of Psalms. I'll say it again. 71 times. Over and not in every psalm. But you need to know when I'm reading a psalm with Selah in it, this is somehow a prophetic psalm. It may be dealing with the Antichrist. It may be dealing with protection. But you need to know what the word Selah means. And I've known many people that don't. And I want this to help your Bible reading. That's, you know what? Let's finish this. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He will in the millennium. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. There's not going to be any more fighting. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Here we go, just a second. Is God exalted in the earth right now? Is he going to be? Yes, he is. Selah. He's going to be. He's going to be. And that's what the word Selah means. Think now, what does this passage mean in reference to the tribulation, or in this case, part of it's the millennium. Go to, you're there, there in 46. Go to chapter 47. It says here, verse 1, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." I like that scripture song. That's a good scripture song. "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Stop. Is the Lord king over all the earth yet? No. Is he going to be? He sure is. Watch, keep on going here. "He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet." Has he done that yet? No, he hasn't. Is he going to? Yes. Verse 4, "He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob," or Israel, "whom he loved, Selah." Look at verse 7, "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Verse number 8, "God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." Is God reigning over the heathen now? No. Is he going to? Yes. Selah. That's why sometimes when churches take these scriptures and they turn, you know, what's that one song? "Our God reigns. Woo! Our God reigns. Woo!" Okay, no, we're not singing that here. That's a contemporary song. But they get all wound up about, "There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God." I mean, they get all this. They take prophecy. They don't divide the scripture. It just sounds good in a song. Look, the sinfulness of this world and the heartaches and the pain that is here, it makes me long for the day when Jesus is going to reign out of Jerusalem. And it makes me tired of this world. But no, my God is not reigning. They're butchering people over in the Middle East. They just outlawed a couple of months ago all Christian churches in India. You know where they bow down to cows? It's illegal now. It has been now for about 2 years, but it's now illegal in Saudi Arabia to have any type of a church. They went after, burned everything. Our God reigns. Woo! Is he going to? Yes. Is he right now? Who's the small g god of this world? Satan. Yeah, there's havoc and chaos in a lot of places. So when you read these, when you read Psalms, yeah, I long for heaven. I long for when Jesus, I can't wait. I think it's going to be wonderful. But are we dealing with that now? No. No, we're dealing with chaos and sin and the pain of the curse. And that's what we're dealing with now. So reading Psalms, that's why when you read your Bible, you're reminded of what's coming. You're reminded of what's going to happen when Jesus comes to reign. And that's supposed to give us hope to do what? When we come to hard times and when death does happen and when tragedy does happen, I've read the book and I've been given hope by the Word of God. But if you're just reading it and it's all blah, 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 it doesn't mean nothing. Selah. Yeah, it means stop and meditate. Did I leave the garage door open? You know, did I put the emergency brake on, or is my car down at the end of the driveway down here in church? You know what I mean? Stop and meditate. Yeah, the word Selah does not mean meditate. It means specifically that scripture that you're reading is prophetic. Think about it that way. Let's read one more. Go to Psalm 140. You're going to read this over and over again as you read Psalms. And I hope you are reading through. I think Psalms is a book you can't get enough of. And it's a book that's wonderfully, many times, easy to apply to your life, even though you don't know Jewish customs, Jewish lifestyles, any of that, traditions. You can pull things. God can speak to your heart no matter where you read his word. Amen? But the book of Psalms ought to be something that you read all the time. It ought to be in your Bible reading. And I just told you how to do it. That's one way. If you want to read first five chapters one day and first five, that's fine. If you wanted to read just one, that's okay. Psalm 140, look at verse 1. "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war." Stop. Does that sound like Islam? Yeah, that sounds like Islam. I have written in my Bible, Islam, right there next to that verse. They're continually for war. Jihad. I said that Texas style. Jihad. Verse number 3. "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins or machines for me. Selah. This is during the tribulation. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. There are three interpretations of Scripture every Christian ought to know. There's the present. What happened when that Scripture was penned? I didn't cover any of that tonight. There's the personal or the devotional meaning. This is what this Scripture means to me. That means I can also memorize some of these. Have you ever memorized some of the Psalms and then used them in your prayer time? O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I can go to my Heavenly Father in prayer. That's an opening. O thou that hearest prayer. Thou art my refuge. I can take all of these and I can pray them devotionally. Do you understand? And I think it helps your prayer line. I think it helps your prayer time. Nothing like praying Scripture. Then number three, prophetically, present, personal, prophecy. All Scripture applies to all three. Tonight we looked at the word Selah.